to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm still Bill Cundiff. and our sponsor this hour...
I don't know. What did the fox say?
Yes,
I couldn't resist.
For all those of you who don't know what that means, you need to go to YouTube and look up What Does the Fox Say, and it's a weird little video, and if you've never seen it...
Don't. It will haunt you for the rest of your lives.
You'll never forget it.
I first heard that song in fourth grade, and it's
wow.
It's still bouncing around in there.
I know, it's bad.
It's evil. Bad.
Made Bill think of it.
Yeah, it's funny.
Bill,
stuff.
Bill, we need to talk about people that actually work for a living, so tell me about our sponsor.
Well, regardless
it's
of
Officer Joe.
Of popular opinion, Pape Machinery is the local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer.
Yay!
And they're located up at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. And they can get you pretty much anything you need or want in the way of John Deere equipment. They also work on other brands of equipment. Give them a call. 226-9226 and get your tractor in there. Get it freshened up for the fall season. Or you can catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
And you know what? Nothing runs like a deer, and our marijuana eradication skid steer is up there getting serviced right now, and it does a great job in the grows and does the job that 20 deputies would have to do. And it is a thing of beauty watching the opera of the skid steer going through an illegal grow and taking
and
out the water source.
Yeah, and just bashing down everything.
Well, yeah. we now have destruction orders, which is different than other counties. Our county now is issuing destruction orders. So when we
and is this in Shasta and Siskiyou, or
this is in Shasta. Siskiyou, unfortunately, there since they've been sued,
they got the lawsuit
going on. They're not doing destruction orders, and we're going after the water and the environmental crimes because that's where the money is. And these are the people, for example, up in Mill Creek subdivision that are using the water out of Cow Creek and then putting out. Whoa.
Yeah. Wasn't me.
And then putting...
He's destruction the water. That's perfect.
And yeah, that was...
A little free sound effect.
That was the last drop, okay? So they're throwing all the chemicals in the water up there, and all that water is coming down Cow Creek, and it doesn't even make it down to the ACID because of all the drought. But still, the people in Round Mountain and Bella Vista and all these communities, that water's coming down and going into their aquifer that they're drinking.
There you go.
And we have the microplastics. That's a big thing, especially up in Siskiyou. Every time they cut the plastic off the hoop houses, they just leave it in the environment. And that'll take, 100 years?
Well, and the wind is so strong up there, so it just blows all over the place.
So when you talk about destruction orders, what's that entail? I mean, I know you take out the plants.
Don't you know what a destruction order sounds like? It's you will destroy.
Yes, you will. Okay.
So we used to not be able to take out the actual infrastructure, the hoop house. So the deputies would cut the plastic off. You have to cut the plastic off first.
Even go in because otherwise you just get gassed out.
You get gassed out. You can't stand it, right? So you cut the plastic, you let it air, and then you go through the front door with a skid steer and you go up and down the rows and you take out the marijuana and you leave it and you dig a hole and you bury it. We're not supposed to transport it anymore because of AQMD regulations.
What does that mean?
So if we get thousands of pounds of marijuana,
sure,
we don't take it somewhere anymore. You can't because it's releasing the terpenes or the aromatics that's in the marijuana.
Ew.
You can't put that. Those are oils. That's going into it's going into the air. You don't want to travel over and down the road with that stuff.
Just spreading it all over everybody.
Right, so
besides that, where are you going to find a place that's big enough and it takes a ton of time? And,
to bury it.
Yeah, and it's just – yeah.
Now this is the 100-pound gorilla in the room is that – all this stuff is toxic, and we're not able to really deal with it in the manner that it needs to be dealt with.
But we're going to sell it to the public.
Oh, by the way, you'll like this one, Aaron. You know all the big fires that we just had up in Siskiyou and down here in Shasta County?
Yes.
Okay, so all of that marijuana up there had all that smoke come down on top of it, all the smoke particles, and all that marijuana just got harvested, and we're already getting reports of people smoking that marijuana that's been had the smoke particles dumped on it. They didn't say, like, ooh, this marijuana is contaminated. They just harvested it faster and got it out into the stream. So all that stuff is already gone down, and we already know that smoke particles themselves are carcinogenic, right? That's why our firefighters get cancer later in their life. So all that marijuana, the thousands of pounds that's been harvested.
See, I wonder if any of that had poison oak smoke on it, because there's hardly any of that around.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if
yeah.
you can get past the spray adhesive that they put yeah. on it to
attract
more
them.
Pollen yeah. and, you know, make them grow bigger.
No, and no, ash.
Now,
and...
no, here's where my marijuana...
so many things not to like.
My marijuana friends could help us out because the legal market, just so you know, is objecting just as strenuously, well, many people are, to the illegal market because... a permit today for just a small marijuana operation is almost $100,000.
And that's to grow commercially?
That's to actually...
Or have a dope store.
Yeah, have a dope store. We don't call it that anymore. It's a...
It's a pot shop.
It's a...
It'll always be a dope store for me.
Yeah. Cannabis yeah. couture.
If you hear I called it a pot shop, it's a lie.
We call it, you know, cannabis couture or whatever the fancy French name you want to give to it.
All righty there.
Right?
Okay, Joe.
We can go down.
We're going to call him Captain Grey Poupon.
No, we can have our little storefront in Shasta Lake, and then we can have our 100,000-square-foot facility down in San Diego with the green glass, the polished floors, and the Corinthian leather furniture.
Oh. While you is it fine Corinthian leather or just regular Corinthian leather?
You know, if you went into a pot shop today, you would think that, and they're very well run. Right, the pot shops are very well run. I mean, they're good business models as far as what's out in front, but the people are not trained. You know, they're telling you, go in there and you say, I can't sleep well. Oh, I'm going to give you, you know, sour diesel or whatever. It's going to help you sleep. They're not allowed to do that, but a lot of that's going on.
That's a catchy title.
That's a real one, by the way.
Stop it. That's a real name.
Yeah, it's a real name.
People put that in their mouth.
Yes.
I'd like some sour diesel, please.
Well, what's the difference?
Put it in my
if
mouth.
If you're smoking something, you're basically putting your mouth on a tailpipe anyway, right?
Well, that's true.
You know?
Got a point.
But most people don't smoke anymore. Most people, it's
no, it's all the edibles.
It's edibles and concentrates.
Yeah. Right? And all these, you think about all these edibles and concentrates and all of this.
Where you know even less
and
about where it came from.
Our kids are getting a hold of this.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Like.
Yeah. Hello, cannabis industry. I'm out there. You can find me. You can call me anytime if you want to work with me and start turning in the illegal grows. Oops, I forgot. That's where you're getting a lot of your marijuana.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Darn it. Well, because, I mean, how would you even know that they didn't? I mean, it's not profitable to run one of these everything that I've
heard
and read.
But the state is telling us that they're barcoding all the plants and it's seed to sale. We know everything.
Okay, that makes no sense.
Well, yeah, because who's enforcing it? Who's checking?
Did you know there's only 8 enforcement officers, actual enforcement officers? They have what's called, in the Department of Cannabis Control, there's compliance officers and enforcement officers. And the enforcement officers are guys with, they're gun toters. They're the ones that will go out and actually destroy a marijuana grow. They haven't done one operation, not one. They're very frustrated. They're kept in the dark.
These are the state.
State guys.
This is State Department
guys.
Of Cannabis Control law enforcement. Now there's the compliance officers and Nicole Elliott, who's the head of the Department of Cannabis Control. She's she doesn't know anything about cannabis. She doesn't know anything. She's a political appointee from Mr. Newsom. Okay, just like the attorney that made Prop 64. Where did Newsom end up putting him? He made him the head of the Fair Political
Practices Commission, FPPC?
Yes, he did.
Who regulates all of the political donations to candidates. Well, gosh, that's handy.
Are we talking about Mr. Cry and Ms. Resner?
We're just talking about anybody.
Anybody.
And the dope guys are really good at having the LLC of the LLC of somebody else's grandma's LLC.
Right.
When Mr. Cry told me that he took marijuana money and I looked at the company that gave it to him, it sounds like that company is a beekeeping operation, has nothing to do. There's nothing to do in the name with cannabis at all. And I had to go look in the Bureau of the Department of Cannabis Control to see, this is marijuana. This isn't a beekeeping business. This is marijuana. And also, when you look and you're an informed voter, and everybody should be an informed voter, and you want to know, go and look where these people are getting their money.
Flat out ask them.
Ask them.
Well, they do, and they do have to file where they get their donations.
Right.
Yeah, but if it's coming from a person, Aaron.
Yeah.
And you don't know that person is
right. Easy to hide.
Right.
Like for example, in Ms. Resner's campaign, there's a person there who's been fined apparently. For cannabis operations, doing illegal grading, and now he's donating to her campaign heavily, And then there's another person who apparently is a large marijuana producer in this town.
Illegal.
Legal and illegal.
Both.
Yeah. He's donating heavily. And they play the games with a $4,900 donation. So you'll see all of a sudden it'll be that person, and it'll be a friend of that person and a friend of that person, and they'll all be the $4,900 donations. So for Erin and I have had a chat, and she claims that she's going to come to Shasta County and that she's going to support law enforcement and not promote cannabis. I don't believe it for one second based upon the past record of what we've seen in the city. Also, during the last Board of Supervisor meetings a couple of weeks ago, our agricultural commissioner came in and, without being asked for by the county, provided a document saying this is what cannabis could bring to the county.
Because this is what the city got. Yeah.
Why did they do that? Why is that in his job description? You know what, Erin? This is the heartache I have with all this. Back in 2012, when Kathy and I and everybody was fighting this way back with, was it Measure A?
Yeah.
A.
2014.
We asked for input into the laws in Shasta County. Completely shut out. Anybody in prevention, anybody in anti-drug, the county staff did not want to talk to us at all. They only wanted to talk to the pro-cannabis folks.
They rolled out the ordinance to allow the stores in.
That's right.
Right. Would be something for people who live. Obviously, we're discussing one place because that's where we have, facts. But in your town, it's not going to be that hard to drill down and figure it out.
Yeah, but Let's look at the new downtown area. That's under a business district. So they have their own set of rules because they want to make it the next Bend of California is really what they're looking to do. But
it's too
guess
hot
what?
To be Bend.
Well, I know. But guess what? One of the things is they don't allow pot shops.
Now, why is that?
Why is that?
Whoa, it's a legal business.
Yeah, but in their business district bylaws or whatever you have, they don't allow it. Well, so how is it? Is it because maybe you don't want that type of business in your?
And as we told your audience last time, the cannabis business itself generally is pretty safe. Although they're starting to get the robberies from the deliveries. So if you're delivering cannabis, that's basically you're an armed guard because you're going to get robbed doing that. But beyond the confines of the cannabis store, and you go out into the community a couple of square miles, then the crime is generally higher. The drunk driving, and these are statistics that are provable, the drunk driving is higher, and the youth use is higher because of the reduction of the ability to see harms.
Right.
When society normalizes a behavior, and I don't care what it is, when they normalize that behavior, our kids are going to buy in. Right. And we talk about prevention. Now, prevention is the perfect model. Right. If we had perfect prevention, we wouldn't have any drug use because everybody go, we're not going to use it because we understand it's dangerous for us.
Right.
But we're not getting the funding that we need. The city, which is supposed to put money into prevention, we don't see anything. Do we see any money from that? No money from that. The state, which is also supposed to put a lot of money in prevention, do we see the money we're supposed to get? Or for state law enforcement, wasn't it supposed to be 6% of all the cannabis funds?
No, it's like 6% of whatever's left over after they've allocated.
What's left over.
See, that's a part of the law that nobody paid attention to. Was like, oh, we're going to give $5 million to some college. We're going to give $5 million to CHP. We're going to give millions to research and all this other stuff. And with whatever was left over, then 10% of whatever's left over would go out to the counties.
And I don't think people realize how big a role they play in this. And a lot of them just feel powerless. They're going to do it anyway. I guess I might as well vote for it.
You're not powerless. Let me tell you what you can do. You can go in front of your Board of Supervisors and you can say something like this. We understand the state's going to want to put a marijuana dispensary on every corner in the county. How about we establish a new county ordinance that says the following. This county will allow marijuana within its confines in any incorporated city that has already enabled cannabis in its city. And people that need or want cannabis are already served by the delivery services that are in place. But cannabis dispensaries shall remain illegal in the county area. Do you think either of you could work with that? Does that sound reasonable? Yeah. The answer is yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're not going to want to, but it'd be good to get them on the record to oppose it. And then the people who oppose it, especially the people who lean on it's a legal business, those are the folks I would look at first, because anyone who's not willing to discuss the ancillary problems of this
drug whole thing. Right.
You know, the whole industry, the drug itself.
Or admit that there's a problem here.
Right. The folks that just lean on, well, it's a legal business and I'm just trying to support my family. Okay, what else is going on there? All right, got to take a really quick break. We're going to go listen to the Wildwood Flower. You probably haven't heard about that in a while. We're going to go there for a little bit with our friend Jim Stafford. So our
Right there in Trinity County.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
So you're listening to We the People Radio. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
The name of this song is The Wildwood Flower. Now, The Wildwood Flower is an old country classic. It's gained a whole new popularity. The song isn't any more popular, but the flower's doing real good. The Wildwood Flower grew wild on the farm, and we never knew what it was called. Some said it's a flower, and some said it's a weed. I didn't give it much thought. One day I was out there talking to my brother, and I reached down for a weed to chew on. Things got fuzzy and things got blurry, and then everything was gone. Didn't know what happened, but I knew it beat the hell out of Smith and Burley. I come to smoking them wildwood flowers got to be a habit. We never seen no harm. Oh, we thought it was kind of handy. Take a trip and never leave the farm. They go puff that wildwood weed. Next thing you know, you're just wandering around behind the little animals. All good things got to come to an end. It's the same with the wildwood weeds. One day, this fella from Washington come by and spied it and turned white as a sheet. And he dug and he burned and he burned and he dug and he killed all our cute little weeds. And then he drove away. We just smiled and waved, sitting there on that sack of seeds.
So, Liam, did you know that one?
I didn't.
That's my goal. Got to play at least a few every week.
Educating me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was the back in the days of the hippie weed, where it was like 5% THC.
Oh, I think it was 3 or 4, yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff was 4%.
Really? Yeah. How do you know that, Kathy?
You know, I lived back in that day.
Yeah.
Didn't we all? But who cared, right? No. That's the, I guess, no. I've never really thought about that. But back, in high school, nobody was measuring THC content.
No.
We didn't even know it had THC in it.
Nope.
Did you know it had THC in it?
I plead the fifth.
Well, and they did talk about the pop brownies. Those were very popular back in the day,
yeah.
Even back then. But it was more about Boone's Farm, Strawberry Hill. What can I say?
Yeah, I didn't smoke. I was an athlete. So
I thought it was the walnuts and the brownies that got you high.
It was the bad walnuts.
Yeah,
dirty walnuts.
Dirty walnuts.
yeah, but it's interesting to think about that though, because. You know, high school and whatever age, they're not looking at the ingredient list
and
trying to decide, is this
good for you or not?
How much THC is in this?
If it passes the smell test, it's good to go.
The sniff test?
What's so scary is even our local, you know, administrators and stuff, they don't even know what to do. I mean, because vaping is such a huge, huge problem on campuses. But they know it's not just the nicotine they're vaping. Like, they know it's THC.
But it doesn't smell like everybody's smoking pot in the bathroom.
With the edibles now, I mean,
there's no
smoke, there's no smell, there's...
I remember when I learned about vodka-soaked gummy bears. I was like, what?
Vodka-soaked gummy bears?
Yeah. They show the kids, you soak them in vodka, and then you can just take them to school and just pop a vodka gummy bear. Hmm. I'm like, oh my God, kids!
I wish I'd have known about that, because that watermelon rum was really messy to eat.
Okay, in high school back east, we had a lot. It was a big school, and they had a lot of fields. You know, we had like multiple. We played field hockey, and soccer wasn't a thing, but we had big fields, so it was quite a distance until there was a berm of woods around the edge of the school. So in finals week, we always had somebody who was on keg duty. So they had a keg on a stand out there in the woods, right? So you'd go out there between your finals and. We were all obviously kind of smart because we got good grades, but somehow we were drinking during our finals. And the vice principal, he thought he was super cool. He'd take his golf club out there and he'd like golf his way over to the woods to try to catch us. So he was at the far end, and like meanwhile there's some kid hoofing the keg down to the other end of the woods, and then he'd golf down to that end, and it would go back, and it was kind of like the cartoon with the sheepdog and the wolf. Yeah.
Are we telling our 15-year-old alcohol-related stories?
Yeah, I had a lot of those.
If we are, I'll tell my one and only.
Oh, please.
Oh, you're going to like it. Well, the men will like it. The girls don't. Okay, so when I was 15, in the summers, we'd go over to our farm in the Catskill Mountains, and we'd have to work all summer really hard. So I took two of my friends over. And one weekend, my parents' friends came up to visit them. And this is a huge place with multiple houses. So we weren't living with our parents. We were living way up the road somewhere. And so my parents' friends came up for a large dinner party, a number of different parents, and they brought their daughters with them. So think about having 15-year-old boys who haven't seen a girl in 3 months. Living in the middle of nowhere. So, of course, we plied them with the alcohol. And back then, the beer cans were really made out of steel. Remember that? Like Pabst Blue Ribbon and those kind of brands. So by the end of the summer, we had lined up a triangle of beer cans inside this schoolhouse where we were sleeping from one side to the other. And so these girls made the mistake of actually coming to our little cabin that weekend, and they, of course, were plied with alcohol. And the end of the night occurred, and I had to walk this girl back down the road to the main house, this big main house where my parents were having a huge dinner party. There was like 20 people there, and the girl walked in front of me, and I walked in behind her, and the conversation immediately stopped, and they all turned and looked at me. And this poor girl, she was in her 501s, but they were inside out with the pockets on the outside.
Oh, jeez.
and there was all kinds of pine needles and stuff in her hair, and her parents were giving me the eyeball like you wouldn't believe, and I like snuck out the back, and that was the last. And that was the last time I actually tried alcohol in my life, when I was my age of 15 years old, the inside out with the 501s.
Wow. Wow, that's pretty good, actually. One and done, huh?
All right, so let's get back.
And then you had to become a policeman because otherwise your parents were going to send you.
Actually, my foray into becoming a policeman was I was searching for meaning in life, and I started to take martial arts, and my martial arts instructor basically smacked me around enough that I said, I need to straighten out. And there were some policemen in the class, and I just really liked them. They're just their camaraderie. And I said, I think I'd like to become a policeman. And so I grew up in Connecticut. I moved from there to Maryland, and I started going to the University of Maryland. And I had a hard time paying for my education, and the state was offering free education if you decided you want to become a state police officer. And so I said, yeah, that sounds good. So I sat in a lottery of like 5,000 people. And as I'm white.
Oh, they wish there was a day like that.
Right. So I was a white male, and I was in this lottery, and they were pushing, it was minority hiring at the time, and I didn't think I had a chance. And really, I shouldn't, because there was people that were a lot more, that had experience. I was just a college kid. And I got hired, and I spent my first couple of years working nights in a radio car on the 95 freeway, and then going to school all day, and I had no life. And then one year it was snowing 6 feet, and I just said, I'm done with the snow. And I came out and visited my brother in Beverly Hills, and looked at girls in bikinis on the beach, on Venice Beach, at 23 years old.
Who needs inside out Levi's when you have bikinis? So much better.
What a segue. and the rest is history.
Yeah, and if Eddie Murphy can be a Beverly Hills cop,
so could he. Right.
And then on a downer note, your partner of a long time actually killed himself because he went down the marijuana rabbit hole.
He did. So he was an outstanding deputy, spent 30 years as a deputy. And when he retired, most deputies with that many years on, you'll have a lot of injuries. And he did have a lot of injuries. And he tried traditional pharma for the first year, and he didn't like it. So his second year into retirement, and he didn't tell me this, he started to he went to a dispensary. They recommended that he try honey oil.
And how long ago is this?
This is now, he's been dead 5 years.
Oh, so it's not that long ago.
No, yeah, it's pretty recent. And so about 3 months in, and he and I would talk every week, and about 3 months in, I noticed that there was a change in his personality. And I just thought, you know, we're all getting older. And then he began to have a fascination with death. And he liked to make, like, skull jewelry, and he started to look like, I mean, he looked like a scrote dirtbag biker. He really did. His appearance changed. And then he called me one day and he said, look, the neighbors are shining lights in my window. I've had to cut down all my trees between me and my neighbor. And I said, look, I think are you having a break from reality? No, this is really happening. And he would send me pictures of trees and things like that. And at one point, a friend of his called me and said, he's totally whacked out. And he was. So I called my station down there and I said, this deputy needs to be hospitalized. And so I wrote a 5150 report on him, and that's a person who's a danger to self or others or gravely disabled. And he was at that point. He was definitely gravely disabled. They came out and they checked him, and he played the game because he knew how to play the game, and they let him go. And so his addiction got worse after that. And eventually, I kept calling saying, hey, you guys not only need to come take him to the hospital, you need to take his badge and gun away because he's now a danger to others, right? And eventually they did. So he had to surrender all his weapons. He was a veteran, so he went to the VA hospital. They kept him for about 3 weeks, got him kind of sober. He came out, and then about 3 months later, he relapsed. And then at the end of that year, he, in great desperation and intoxicated with his body tissues were full of THC. He lay down on his bed and he took a tactical knife, and starting at his left ear, he cut himself from across his throat all the way to his right ear. So he committed suicide that way, and he bled out on his bed that day. And his brother called for deputies the next day to go find him, and the deputies came and found him, and he had committed suicide. He was dead. And I know that even today, those deputies have a hard time with it. I have a hard time with it. I feel like maybe I should have done more, that I could have abandoned him. His brother said I was the only deputy that ever cared enough about him to call and do something with the department. But it was too late at that point. And that is not an unusual story.
And that's a guy who, he wasn't 15 years old who just tried it at a party.
No, he was 60.
This was a grown man who had dealt with drugs and the effects of his entire life and wasn't able to pull himself out.
And had been drug tested his entire life. So we got drug tested. You get tested every year for drugs. And sometimes, because it was random drug testing, heck, I got tested once a month for several months at a time. You know, I kept saying, hey, you guys, you suspect me of something because I'm kind of crazy or what? No.
But isn't that one of the new laws that Newsom put in, that we can no longer test our employees?
That's right.
What could go wrong with that?
Oh, my God. I mean, workman's comp is just going, yay.
Hey,
yeah, true.
and it's going to go into your public safety positions. Don't think it's not. Don't think that you're firemen, you know.
I mean, that's already a really big deal for law enforcement and people in those kinds of professions where you need people to not be using drugs, but find people that aren't using drugs.
Well, and I mean, do you really want a doctor to come in and perform surgery on you?
Bill can show you a scar. He had one that was drunk who sewed him up.
I mean, it's
not just those positions. I mean, all your positions, your construction workers, your highway workers. I mean, do you want them to not pass a drug test?
Right.
Your truck drivers.
You mean your Dodge, the guys that are building Dodge cars back there in Detroit? That was a big problem from them. Their people were going off at lunch and smoking marijuana and then come back and building cars and not putting all those brake parts in like they should.
Yeah, the mirrors are on upside down. The windows roll up when you want to roll them down. Yeah. Liam has a question.
There was the weed law thing about I think it's like you can't fire. I don't know.
That's right.
Right.
So are police stations federal or are they local? Or because I know that weed's still illegal at the federal level. So
right.
Would that not apply to government positions?
If you're law enforcement with a federal agency, like Forest Service, FBI,
Park Rangers,
all that stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have state would be Highway Patrol,
right?
Because they work under the governor. You got Cal Fire,
local well, control. Obviously.
I see.
And you have private industry.
As a county pass like an ordinance or
so a police department could say that as a part of your prerequisites, I think, but see, it's going to get challenged. That's the problem.
Yeah.
The unions are going to challenge it because anytime there's a regulation, they're going to challenge that regulation. So I don't know nobody knows how this is going to turn out, but it's not going to turn out good.
No.
That's a good point that you bring up with it being federally illegal because honestly, this is a Schedule I drug that still is federally illegal. And even though they keep talking about it and hopefully they never get it through, but
truck drivers have to pass a DOT test, and anytime there's an accident, they have pot in their system, they don't work.
But anymore. The other thing is,
airplane pilots. Yeah. Holy hell!
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
we see that new cars in the future are going to test you for substances before you get in and you're able to drive. Just like we have an intoxilizer in a vehicle now, I've been reading that the manufacturers are going to build that in. Well, is it going to just be alcohol? Are they going to do cannabis or drugs? How are they going to determine that?
Isn't weed different? Because you can only really get an accurate screening through like a urine or a spit or a blood test. You can't do like a breathalyzer.
You can't do it through a blood test because it's a fat-soluble molecule.
Yeah.
That's why it has such harsh consequences for the brain. Alcohol is water-soluble.
Right.
So that's why it processes through the system. But anything with cannabis is a fat-soluble molecule, and the largest concentration of fat in your body, provided
your
you don't have a rear end the size of a school bus, is in your brain.
Yeah.
And so it stays in there for a long time.
We were working on a breath test, and prior to COVID, there was a company that was getting pretty close.
Okay.
But in COVID, they had to go off and just do COVID testing. But,
right.
The first successful company that comes out with a breath test that actually makes it through the court challenge process, goes in front of the Ninth, and then goes in front of the Supremes.
But then you're going to have to come up with a level that, just like alcohol.
Right. Well, and I've read articles that... like concentrations of like weed, it doesn't affect everyone the same way. Like one person could have like a really high THC level and be completely normal, and someone could have like barely any and just be stoned out of their mind.
But it's like alcohol.
It's just like any other drug.
But the storage of it in your system is the trick, and that's where all this chromosomal damage and all that stuff, when you look at all that, who even knows how long all of this is lurking?
Yeah.
The California District Attorneys Association fought for a limit, a per se limit. So if you had this in your body, you were determined to be under the influence of 2 nanograms. The marijuana industry said, nope, 5. And it went to an impasse. It's never been, nothing's ever done with it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And it should. I'm sorry. If we're going to keep calling this a legal drug or
let's
a legal business,
like
then let's start treating it.
Aaron, sit outside any one of these dispensaries for an hour and watch people drive in and watch people drive away. And you tell me, even as an uneducated citizen, and I don't think citizens are uneducated, but even as a citizen who's untrained.
Who's not a drug-sniffing dog? I mean.
Right. But you can watch these people drive out and you go like, that's not normal driving.
Well, okay, I'll give you an example. We were sitting at a Mexican restaurant, and the window faced it's like a smoke shop. It wasn't even a dope store,
A vape store.
But they had they had the thing that was pissing me off was out of the corner of my eye, there was a running, what do you call it? A
marquee.
Like a reader board. Yeah, like a marquee. It was like, get CBD for your dog here. And it's like, I'm going over there. You know, it just kept scrolling. Well, here came all of these. It was like car after car. And every car that came in the parking lot, they could have gone to a couple of restaurants or they could have gone to that. And you could tell just by looking at the vehicles who was going to the smoke shop. And they came out and I thought, you know, you have to be pretty desperate for a job to work in there because this looks like a really derelict clientele, like a spooky clientele.
I know.
And shady.
Right, hold it.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Cannabis,
over at Hartnell.
Cannabis and violence. You mean there's actually a correlation?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And all
we
the school shootings and
that.
All that. No, we haven't. So no. Let's take a quick break. I can fulfill your wish for weed with Willie and John Prine. I can make those both happen for you fellers. And we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Play that funky tune.
I have the key to escape reality, and you may see me tonight with an illegal smile. It don't cost very much, but it lasts a long while. Won't you please tell the man I didn't kill anyone? No, I'm just trying to have me some fun. I always heard that his herb was top shelf. Lord, I just could not wait to find out for myself.
Well, don't knock it till you tried it, and I've tried it, my friend. I'll never smoke weed with Willie again.
Yeah, apparently there was an incident in Texas, and the story goes on.
Yeah.
Of course, that's why I was up till 3:30 in the morning, because I had to listen to all the songs all the way through. Oh, my God. All right. So we're in the final throws. What have we missed?
Well, I think we really need to get people to read that L.A. Times series that Paige St. John is doing. She is doing
good point.
Awesome, awesome job. Awesome.
Yeah, because honestly, if you don't have, we're going to hit the road beginning of October. The three of us are going to run over to another county and help them out because they feel like they're at a disadvantage. They've got a lot of people in their county government that are in favor of legalizing. They've got a measure on their ballot. And the people who've been fighting this for a long time that just keep getting kicked to the curb and dismissed are like, right. Please, we need someone to come over and help us. So
and we are the perfect group.
Exactly. So no matter where you live, find people that are fighting this and join forces, because this isn't a battle that's won with one very smart person who comes rolling into the room with all the answers. It just doesn't work like that.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
We'll provide signs. We have pre-made signs that if people are interested, they want to come to a Board of Supervisors meeting or a City Council meeting, or in the case of Susanville, we're going to take our sign contention over there. You know, it's our city, our county, our water, no illegal marijuana. And that's what we think. You're not hearing us talk about legal marijuana. We're talking about illegal marijuana.
And the thing is, the legal marijuana does not get rid of the illegal. So no. Legalizing it does not solve the problem.
That's right.
And that is...
Well, that's their big talking point, though.
Right.
Is the talking point.
Yeah. Well, and all we have to do is say, well...
Where has that worked?
Yeah, where has that worked? Because in the state of California, Prop 64 did not do anything for us. Nothing.
No.
I've never had a call from a legal marijuana establishment saying, hey, we heard you guys are in prevention. We'd like to donate some money to you to make sure that our kids stay off drugs. Not once. Twitter, nothing.
Oh, but we wouldn't take the money anyways.
That's true. And it's important for your audience to know that we're completely self-funded. We take no money from anyone else. SCAM, which is Shasta and Siskiyou County Citizens Against Marijuana, and LENS, which is the Law Enforcement News Service, we are completely privately funded. We don't take money from anyone. We put our money where our mouth is. We do this all on our own.
Yeah, you can't sit back any longer and ignore these issues. They are next
door.
Well,
one of the arguments I heard was, and I think it was Lassen County, it was brought up that it didn't stop the illegal grows in Siskiyou County, but they waited too long. You know, if we can get this passed for the legal grows and stay on top of it, then that'll never happen in our county.
But they already got the illegal grows.
Exactly. They're not recognizing that at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. No. Yeah. Yeah, it's already happening.
When I speak to other states and I go and talk to their cannabis boards, they all, every one of them, think the same thing. We are going to be able to control it. and not yes. one of them can. You look at what what's happened to Oklahoma. Oklahoma's got the Asians are all over Oklahoma now, flooding that place with marijuana. I've been talking to West Virginia, and West Virginia thinks, you know, and they had their state police, the head of their state police commissioner came on and spoke to me, and he said, well, we don't have a problem. And I said, oh, au contraire, you'll have a problem. You're just not going to catch it. It's going to be there, and all of a sudden it will be a problem, and you won't see it coming.
It's kind of like, it's kind of like ants, you know. How many of us are like, well, if I asked you right now, you know, do you have a pest problem at your house? You'd be like, no, I don't have a pest problem. Put down one piece of dog food on your kitchen floor and just wait. And here come the ants. And that's exactly how this works. And once it starts,
you can't stop it.
Turning it back is like ants, because they just keep coming.
Yeah, there's too much money involved. And it affects every business. It's going to get into your city and county governments.
Well, it affects
and the money
your...
just, it just intoxicates people.
It does. And your legal businesses, the bad part is it lures in a lot of your legal businesses.
Does.
Your well drillers, your water delivery
Everybody,
people.
Your hardware stores.
Your
lumberyard.
City of Reading, brand new landscape store specializing in stuff to the pot industry. It's not where you want to go and buy your stuff for your roses.
No.
Yeah. And what's so sad is I remember when Newsom was promoting Prop 64, and he says, you know, we've looked at the state of Washington. We've looked at the state of Colorado. We're going to do it better. This is what's going to happen.
Yeah, we've learned from their mistakes.
Yeah, we've learned from their mistakes.
It doesn't matter. Once the money starts flowing, people turn a blind eye.
Yep.
They take the cash, and it's so much of it is cash.
Oh yeah. It's all cash.
Every business, you know, somebody walks in and flashes a big wad of money. Hey, I need this or I need that. How much is it going to cost? I remember when I was selling equipment over on the coast, I walked into a material supply company, and I just walked in the front door and walked up to the counter, and behind the counter there was a lady with a wad of cash in her hands, and I swear it was 6 inches thick, and she was counting it, and I didn't ask any questions until I got outside and asked one of the employees. I go, wow, what's the deal with cash? Oh, that's one of the local growers comes in and prepays for all his soil, all his amendments, all that. They just come in with cash. Well, what business is going to walk away from that?
Right.
And so they look forward to it every year. Hey, season's coming. We're going to get a big influx of cash. And so they don't voice up.
And they don't see anything wrong.
And when you're out there talking about this being a bad thing for the community, you get a lot of pushback from people that you wouldn't think would push back, because they're looking at, well, you know, they've taken away the logging, the mining. I mean, Siskiyou County is perfect.
Right.
No logging, no mining. They've impoverished large swaths of the county. And yet their Tractor Supply store in a town with 7,500 people was the highest grossing store in the nation.
And one farmer selling $13 million of water per year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was one out of three.
Well, how about your car dealerships?
I mean, they all go back to the community. Yeah, and you get these small communities like Lassen, and some of their whatever businesses are up there, that's what they look at. They're like, oh, man, we'll have new customers. We'll have this.
Yep.
But
once that starts, if you don't like it, it's not a decision that you get to reverse easily.
No.
If at all.
No. Our sheriff, God bless him, Mike Johnson, is doing a good job. You don't hear about him going after cannabis, but he is. But what can a sheriff do? You know, in a county with 7,000 illegal grows, if he does 100 a year, and they're spectacular what he's doing, spectacular grows he's taken out, and he's doing a good job. But that's 100 out of 7,000. And I'm including all the mom-and-pop small backyard grows of 90 plants. 90 plants are 100,000, you know, making $100,000 a year. Who wants to work here? You go out to the eastern part of the county, out into the, you know, Bend area out there. There's a lot of growers out there that are also on social welfare. That's another thing I find, is that these people are double dipping and using their social welfare.
Sure.
And just going out there.
Because they're not claiming any income.
They're not claiming any income. So that's going on.
Well, another thing, I mean, imagine if we had a federal administration that wanted to start cracking down on this, these pot shops would be out of business overnight. a lot of businesses that are taking all this cash in are going to have to really watch the way they do business, because it is illegal to take money from a from drug sales.
Right.
And if you're found to be trading with these companies that are illegal drug, you're on the hook too.
Right.
So I don't know. It's an evil web.
Yeah, and once you get in, you don't get out. You know, it isn't an easy thing to walk away from. And in a lot of cases, I'm sorry, but it's a drug cartel.
Oh,
just get a little involved with a drug cartel.
Right.
That doesn't actually, right. No. That's not a thing.
No, you don't get to get out.
In our last couple of minutes, I did want to do a promotion of our upcoming documentary. It's going to be the Pot Dogs from...
Oh, yeah. Talk to us about Doris, the dogs up there.
Yep.
Sorry.
From Misery to Hope. It's a documentary we're working on right now. We've already been interviewing one of the main people is a gal named Georgine Murphy. She runs a rescue up there called That Place Called Home. And it is... majority of the pot dogs that are taken in. And now what happens up there is the growers come in from Wisconsin or from Minnesota, and they'll come in for the season. And then when it's cold, they leave and they go back to their hometowns, wherever they were from. And they bring in the dogs. All these dogs are bred. They're all tied up. And when I say tied up, folks, they're tied up with wire, barbed wire around their necks. They will wire a sacrificial dog onto a post in front of their grow, and that attracts the other growers' dogs, because these growers aren't all friendly with each other. They war with each other all the time. It's all about money.
Oh, sure.
So the other growers' dogs are then attracted to this dog, who they end up, you know, killing and eating, and then the original grower comes out with his rifle and he shoots all these dogs, and he does that so that he can pilfer, and there won't be any protection dogs at the grow that he's against or wants to rip off. So at the end of the season, these dogs, Georgine Murphy, will actually go up into the pot grows. The grow itself is abandoned. The dogs will be wired with a chain or wired with this barbed wire in the grow, and she'll release them, and she'll bring them in with the most horrific injuries, folks, the most disgusting injuries. I have video of the dogs whose stomachs have been eviscerated with barbed wire, whose testicles have been cut off. And Georgine takes all these animals and she fixes them. She pays for them. This woman lives like a total pauper, folks, and we're going to do everything we can to help her. We're going to start a fund for her. We're going to try to raise $30,000 for her to pay off. She bought a building, which is the original church in Doris, and then it was the original school in Doris, and she bought it, and it's in horrible disrepair, but she paid to put up good fencing around the location and put some kennels in, and she spends her entire Social Security check taking care of these dogs. They live in her house with her. She has somewhere between 25 and 50 dogs at a time, and you'd think, well, where is the county? This is a poor county. They don't have animal control. Animal control is 60 miles away in another location.
Yeah.
So they default to her, and sometimes she'll find these dogs running on the freeway. They'll get killed on Highway 97. She has to go scrape them up. Sometimes she'll get a call from the ranchers because these dogs and packs are attacking their cattle, and sometimes the ranchers just shoot them, and other times they'll call Georgine. Georgine, they get a forever home. Even when she's able to get them taken care of, it costs about $250 a dog, which she pays for by herself. And she tries to get the dogs adopted out, but it's a poor community. So she has to adopt them out far beyond Doris. She has to adopt them out in Oregon and other places to get
them. Well, and I know that a lot of the officers on the marijuana eradication teams adopt the dogs.
Yes.
After a while, though, I mean, yeah, everybody has dogs, like, and lots of them.
Hey, and if anybody wants a black lab, she has three beautiful black lab puppies that are 12 weeks old right now.
Oh, wow.
They are absolutely beautiful. Large paws. I looked at them. She's got two beautiful shepherds in there right now. And, yes, she has the pit bulls but a lot of the dogs have PTSD, psychological injuries. They come in. They're emaciated. She fixes them. She does amazing things with them. So we've done a documentary with her, and it's coming, folks, and it's going to be great to be
able to keep us posted on that.
I'll post all that on the page today. I need the fundraising link. I've got it in my emails. I just need to sit down and do it.
Okay.
I'll post all that on here. So let's see. Today is the 25th of September, 2022. Just, you know, in case you want to go and take a look at that, because that's a worthwhile thing to support.
We're
going to be able to change everything, but
and we're going to try to do a work party, a one-day work party to help her. She's a single female. You know, she's older. And she needs a lot of help.
She's spicy, too.
And she is spicy. She's really spicy. And she is a beautiful person. And we really judge our society.
Yeah. So we're going to gather up the troops and go up there. She doesn't just put them to sleep.
No,
you know, which would be, and some of these dogs are in rugged, rugged condition.
This is no kill
shelter.
Some
of their skin is partially peeled off. I mean, there's just some really, really just abuse at a level that you. So, you know, if you have people who still think pot's great, show them some of the pictures of the dogs.
Yeah. And you
talk to them about that.
This is how they treat their dogs. So how do they treat their children?
Yeah, that's another thing. Mm-hmm. All right, we have to run away from home here. And we will chat with you folks on another day.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
All right, so you're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
You can really try to do it smoking pot. Pot, pot, pot. Well, you can sing it in a song. You can smoke it in a bar. Smoking pot. Pot, pot, pot. Well, it's a latest sensation.